This is Radio Times. I'm Marty Moscoane. You've probably noticed that there are a lot of really good shows on TV, especially on cable. You've probably also noticed that many of these shows use creative and sophisticated opening titles and theme music. The Wire is a good example. For each season, it used a different version of the song Way Down in the Hole, written by Tom Waits. Here's a compilation beginning with the Blind Boys of Alabama, Tom Waits, the Neville Brothers, Domage, and Steve Earle. Let's listen.
If you walk through the garden, you better watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon for the stealing that sack. If you walk with Jesus, he's gonna save your soul. You gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. He got fire in the fury at his command.
Compilation from the various beginnings of The Wire, a show I miss dearly. Well, today in Radio Times, a history and evolution of the TV theme song. We have lots of songs queued up. We have already started a conversation on our Facebook page, and we have two guests who are ready to go. Here with us in our Philadelphia studios is David Biancooley, guest host, TV critic for NPR's Fresh Air with Terry Gross, also founder and editor of the website TVWorthWatching.com. I will give more of his bio during the hour. And David, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Always great to be here.
And also joining us from KUSC is John Burlingame. He's a film historian, music writer who teaches film music history at the University of Southern California, writes regularly for Variety. And John Burlingame, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times as well.
Thanks, Marty. Great to be here. Hi, David.
Hi there. John, I will say
right at the start,
is the person to talk about with TV theme songs, the best person in the country. So I'm excited that we're back together.
Well, I'm excited. All three of you are with us and excited to frankly talk about some of these quite extraordinary songs. And John, I guess if I could begin with you, do you have a favorite TV theme song? I know that's often an unfair question.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's probably impossible to say. There are many of them. And, of course, I think many of us who grew up in a certain era, David, you and I know what era we're talking about here, have particular favorites from our own childhoods. So, you know, things like The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and Mission Impossible, because I was a huge spy show fan, still have resonance with me.
How about for you, David?
From the same era, the Addams Family, from even earlier Rocky and Bullwinkle. It is sort of the things that get you very young. And there's nothing that great about the Rocky and Bullwinkle theme. It's just, it makes me smile. And I found that through history, that's what I really respond to with a great theme song. When I'm listening to Justified now, it means I've got a great hour of TV coming up. It just makes me happy.
And do you think, John, that that's how it works? And we have a lot of songs, and I do want to play actually from The Sopranos, but do you think a good TV theme song is one that kind of cements the viewer's relationship with that show?
I think it helps. You know, it depends on the show itself. It depends on the nature of the music. And in many ways, it also depends on the marriage between the music and the imagery over these main title sequences, as the business calls them. So a lot of that all comes into play. And if you love the show, then you're predisposed toward liking its music and its imagery as well.
Well, we're going to play the theme from The Sopranos, written and performed by the British group called Alabama 3. And I should say, David, I mean, I can see the – as soon as we hear this music, there's Tony Soprano driving on the New Jersey Turnpike.
Exactly. And you know when he reaches the bridge. You know when he looks over. You know when you get to the pork store. I mean, it really is a great example of what John was just talking about marrying images and the music.
Well, let's listen to the theme song from The Sopranos.
Gotta take it down. Deep down. shake my body.
Well, that's the beginning of The Sopranos. And David, why do you think that's so effective? Why does that work so well?
Well, it sets the mood completely. And it was at a time in TV network history, whether cable or broadcast, where theme songs were starting to go away because executives were so worried about people changing channels. A few years after that, in fact, Lost, you know, great show.
Sure.
The theme song to Lost is like one bent note. You know, it lasts like a few seconds and that's it. But something like this really does, I think, set the table for the meal to come. And that's why I love well-done theme songs.
Well, John, and do you think cable, which has a different approach to TV making and also perhaps a different view of their viewers, do you think cable then sort of was part of a resurgence of TV theme songs?
Yes, absolutely. Of course, what we're talking about here is essentially network executive panic. And the idea is that, God forbid, people change the channel after being bored for 5 seconds, which was why networks, beginning in the mid-90s, started to get rid of main title sequences and thus television themes. But cable was always less worried about that, particularly pay cable, I should say, by, you know, like HBO and Showtime, so they can take the time because mm-hmm. they have subscribers, and so they can spend a minute or a minute and a half for the best of all of these. And so you think about shows like Rome and 6 Feet Under, which really took their time in establishing the not only the theme but also that great imagery.
Well, and you said 6 feet under. I can see that toe, you know, with a little toe tag going down the hall there. This is a really jarring segue here, but we're going to go from The Sopranos to Green Acres. And this is Eddie Albert, Eva Gabor singing Vic Mizzi's composition from a TV show called Green Acres. Let's listen.
Is the life for me. Land spreading out so far and wide. Keep Manhattan, just give me that countryside.
New York is where I'd rather stay. I get allergic smelling hay. I just adore a penthouse view. Darling, I love you, but give me Park Avenue.
The chores. Fresh air.
Times Square.
You are my wife.
Goodbye, city life.
Green Acres, we are there.
John, David and I are laughing our heads off in here. What is your take on Green Acres? What does that tell us about that show?
Well, I love this theme. I mean, it's by David's favorite composer, Vic Mizzi, who did the Addams Family.
Yes,
Vic was an old Tin Pan Alley songwriter from the 40s and 50s who found his way to Los Angeles in the 60s, and he wrote funny music and funny lyrics, and this falls right into that mid 60s. Group of themes that told the backstory. I mean, the fear was always, again, fear-driven network executives. How will someone tuning in know who these people are and how they got there and what their situation is? And so with the Beverly Hillbillies and Gilligan's Island and Green Acres, you're told the story, the entire backstory of this of the show within 60 seconds in a funny way and with funny imagery to boot.
Yeah, and do you want to add to that, David?
Well, just I the segue that you made going from The Sopranos to Green Acres, I was actually listening to it imagining, what if it's Tony and Carmela and the image of Tony Soprano on the tractor? It almost makes sense.
It almost does. Let me add another piece of music, and this is the main title for The Twilight Zone, written by a very famous composer, Bernard Herrmann. Let's listen to this.
Thank you.
know, John, that's a very interesting piece of music.
Well, Marty, I have to just, sorry to say, correct you.
Oh, dear.
Bernard Herrmann wrote the first season theme for The Twilight Zone, which is a very dark and moody piece. This is the second season theme and the one that we know the best, which was actually written by a French ballet composer named Marius Constant.
I told you he was the best guy to
talk
to about
that. Thank you for that correction. Nonetheless, it is a really interesting piece of music.
It's a very weird piece of music written in 1959 and done in France and brought over here by the CBS Music Department so that they wouldn't have to pay union musicians in Los Angeles. And so, yes, it's a weird piece of music and an unsettling and odd one that has now become virtually American musical vernacular for there's something funny going on.
Well, and David, we're almost up in a break here, but just those first couple of notes, and we know what it is.
Yeah, those four notes, exactly what he's saying. It's that means there's something creepy going on.
Well, that's David Bean Cooley, who joins us along with John Burlingame. We are talking about TV theme songs and playing a whole bunch of selections during this hour. We hope we can shoehorn them into the hour because there is much to talk about. Very interesting to look at the evolution of the TV theme song, and we want to hear from you. That phone number is 1-888-477-9499. We already started a very lively Facebook conversation yesterday about TV theme songs. You can also send us an email at radiotimes@whyy.org. Stay with us. Much more music and conversation after this very short break. We'll be right back.
Alzheimer's disease is the sixth leading cause of death in the U.S. Alzheimer's is not curable, but prescription medications can sometimes help to maintain the quality of life for longer periods. Keystone Clinical Studies of Norristown is conducting a research study to test a new investigational medication for patients with a diagnosis of mild to moderate Alzheimer's disease. 610-277-8073. 610-277-8073 or KeystoneClinicalStudies.com. Keystone Clinical Studies supports WHYY.
I'm Robin Young. Next time on Here and Now, a new treaty on mercury levels is named after the Minamata chemical poisoning incident.
It was very, very important in modern Japanese history, a real tragedy from which lots of change came.
We'll learn more next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
Independence Seaport Museum supports WHYY and will host its annual Old City Seaport Festival October 11th through 13th on Penn's Landing. Visitors can take deck or river tours aboard the tall ships or participate in the pirate battle on the Delaware. The festival also features live music, a craft village, and the Gosling's Dark and Stormy Tavern. The Pirate's Lair, sponsored by Metro Kids Magazine, features activities for kids. Information and tickets at phillyseaport.org.
This is Radio Times. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. And we are talking about TV theme songs. And our guests are David Bean Cooley, as you probably know, guest host, TV critic for NPR's Fresh Air with Terry Gross, also founder and editor of the website TVWorthWatching.com. He teaches at Rowan University in New Jersey and has written a couple of books, Dangerously Funny, about the Smothers Brothers, Teleliteracy, about taking television seriously.
That's enough.
Okay, that's enough.
You're so nice.
And to you, John Burlingame, I'm going to do the very same thing. Film historian, music writer, teaches film music history at the University of California, Southern California, I should say, writes regularly for Variety. He also has written a couple of books, including TV's Biggest Hits and most recently, The Music of James Bond. In fact, John was a guest on Radio Times talking about the music of James Bond. Let me play the main title to Game of Thrones, written by Ramin Djemani. again, the theme from Game of Thrones. And I told David Bianculli that when I watch that show, I sing along with that theme.
See, I'm still looking at the theme every week when that theme comes on, trying to figure out exactly
who's who, right?
Yeah, exactly how it all connects, because I know it does, and I'm not smart enough to just absorb all of that information by about the time the fifth or sixth land comes up. And oh, is that Oz? I've given up now.
But John, I think it is an interesting combination of that music, whether you like it or not, and the very sort of steampunky looking map that we see sort of a 3D look.
Yes, and something that you both brought up earlier, I think, really comes into play here, and that is how catchy it is. There's something rhythmically relentless about that theme, and what's funny about it is that so many people have become obsessed with the theme for Game of Thrones that it's become kind of a YouTube phenomenon now to do sort of homemade cover versions of it. I mean, I went there to YouTube last night, and the one that's done by a cat meowing has been seen more than 3 million times.
Oh,
There go the cats again, right? I know.
The world is ending. You heard it here first on Radio Time.
But David, you had mentioned nervous producers, and I mean, we're doing a show about TV theme songs, mm-hmm. but are producers still nervous that if they can't hold on to some, you know, their viewers for 5 seconds, they're just going to lose them to another show?
Pretty much, broadcast TV ones are. If you know, there's no reason to watch most of the new fall shows this year, but if you had,
is that true?
Yes. See, that didn't take long, did it?
No, it didn't.
but you know, if you did, you would notice that not a lot of them have theme songs, and certainly not a lot of them have good ones. Do you agree with me, John, on that assessment?
John?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. But again, this is about networks failing to give opportunities to producers and composers. I was watching Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. last night, and it seems to me that's a spectacular case of you would be bored to death without a score in that show. Mm-hmm. And the theme is part and parcel of all of that.
Let me see what looks like Paul from University City here in Philadelphia has to say. And Paul, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I wanted to ask David and John if they see a difference in the trend of moving away from composers for composing songs for shows to adapting pop songs or other songs by licensed music that's already out there or played on air or records or whatever.
Yeah, David,
and I can take my answer off the air.
Paul, thanks for the call to Radio Times.
It can be done, and there are times where I think it actually is appropriate. Like Parenthood on NBC uses Forever Young by Bob Dylan, and it somehow fits.
Yeah.
But John can speak to this better, but it does deny opportunities for people to come up with new theme songs that we would like just as much.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
I'm always partial to the notion of a composer working closely with a producer on exactly what a show needs musically. As David correctly points out, there are a lot of great cases where you have licensed a song and it does work with the show and with the imagery. We'll be playing, I think, a few of them coming up here. But my preference is always to give the opportunity to a composer who sometimes can craft a piece very specifically to what's needed.
Well, in fact, that's a perfect setup to the theme from Mission Impossible, written by Lalo Schifrin. Let's listen to that. To Mission Impossible. John, David was saying there were a lot of bongos back there in the 1960s.
Hey, don't be dissing bongos. We love bongos. We want bongos to come back.
Yeah, it was the 60s equivalent of more cowbell.
That's right. I love the Mission Impossible theme. That is the classic case in point of a theme which becomes so iconic that today's generation, which probably has never seen an episode of Mission Impossible, and even those who haven't seen the Tom Cruise movies, probably know that tune for one reason or another, whether it's been licensed over the years for commercials or simply was out there in the pop culture zeitgeist.
Well, and I think it's those first few notes, like we heard on The Twilight Zone, or we just heard a Mission Impossible, the first few notes, and you know what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, part of writing a catchy television theme is about coming up with what they call the hook, mm-hmm. something that will really grab you from the start.
David, I was reading about, I've done it myself, but binge watching. I mean, the idea mm-hmm. of taking a rainy or snowy afternoon and watching, you know, a whole bunch of a series. And I wonder how...
Yeah, you civilians get to do that a lot.
You do it for a living,
yeah,
though,
no,
right?
I mean, but we usually get it in advance, so right. binge-watching is what I've been doing since, like, 1975.
But the idea of does that theme... Will people sit through the theme when they're binge-watching a show?
I do, but I don't know. I don't expect to be considered normal. People can fast-forward through stuff even when they're streaming.
Right.
So if it really annoys them, they can get through it. And I know that some DVD releases allow you to actually skip the opening themes. You can, you know, on the menu, you can say, don't show them to me, which that's just a sin.
Yes, without question. And I must say that when I was late in catching up with Downton Abbey, when my wife and I were binge watching the first two seasons, I did insist that we sit through the entire main and end titles of every episode.
And she agreed? She went along with you, John?
She did indeed.
And that's
they were divorced in March, but
yeah. I hope not.
Yeah, no. So do I. That would have been. I hope you guys are still fine.
And we're just talking about TV theme music. We're not getting into people's personal lives here. And talking with John Burlingame and David Bean Cooley, taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Let me see what Jim from looks like Wilmington, Delaware, has to say. Jim, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
I always enjoy the shows with you, John. And but I wanted to say when I or David, I'm sorry, what am I saying, John? I really like Justified, and I guess the theme kind of grows on me. But especially when I first started hearing it, I felt like, you know, they could have done a little bit more mountain style music, and I felt like they were injecting a kind of hip hop or sort of groove just because it was fashionable.
Well, Jim, we'll hear from David and from John as well, and then I do want to play the theme to Justify, but what are your thoughts?
Well, I understand your point, but I think they were doing it exactly on purpose, you know, rather than just do a Deliverance, you know, sort of bluegrass thing, that they wanted to inject the idea that they were going to go back into these woods, but with a very modern character, and that they were going to be dealing with modern dramas. And I happen to love that show and love that theme.
What about for you, John?
I'm frankly with your caller. I thought that the idea of banjo, fiddle, and guitar seemed right and okay with me in terms of the hill country of Kentucky, but it seemed to me that the injection of rap seemed all wrong to me for an Elmore Leonard adaptation. So I'm of mixed feelings about that.
Well, in any case, we're going to listen to it. This is Gangsta Grass, Long Hard Times to Come from the TV show Justified.
This lonely road, trying to make it home, doing it by my lonesome, pissed off, you want some, I'm fighting for my soul, God, get at you, boy, you try to vote, God, fall back, I go hard, on this lonely road, trying to make it home, doing it by my lonesome, pissed off, you want some,
I see them long, hard times to come,
my life is ill, son, prepared to kill, son, a paradox of pain, baby, it's real, son, lonely traveler, ain't trying to bow to you, but if you're feeling tough, dog, I welcome all challenges, ain't got no family, you see there's one to me, might lose your pulse, standing 2 feet in front of me, I'm pissed at the world, but I ain't looking for trouble, I might crack a grin, I ain't looking to hug.
hug you, think about it. Nobody wants to die. There's rule to this game, son. I'm Justified. I'm ready to go.
Well, like it or not, that's the theme song from Justified, Gangsta Grass, Long Hard Times to Come. Again, talking with John Burlingame, film historian, music writer. He teaches film music history at the University of Southern California. Joining us from the studios of KUSC, David Biancooley here with us in our Philadelphia studios. He's guest host, TV critic for NPR's Fresh Air with Terry Gross, also founder and editor of the website TVWorthWatching.com. And our phones have exploded here at 1-888-477-9499. Before we get back to our callers, though, John, I did want to put in the man from Uncle, and I know that you have been doing a lot of work on this music, on this show. What intrigues you about the music from The Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
Well, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. was the first spy show on television in the 1960s. When James Bond hit big in the early 60s, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. was one of the first TV shows, in fact, the first TV show, to sort of follow up on that stylish sort of genre. And the composer is Jerry Goldsmith, who went on to have a very huge career in films. But he wrote this interesting combination of sort of martial music and jazzy flourishes, which sort of encapsulated that whole interesting, stylish spy feel of the show with the Napoleon Solo and Ilya Kuryakin, which, interestingly enough, is right now being made into a big screen movie.
Oh, wow.
And I hope they use the Goldsmith theme.
Indeed. Did you like this show, David?
I like the show, and every time I hear about a classic 60s show being made into a movie, I die a tiny little death again.
Just holding your breath, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's listen. This is the theme from The Man from U.N.C.L.E., composed by Jerry Goldsmith. The theme from The Man from U.N.C.L.E. again.
I might add one of the most terrible synthesized versions of that theme I've ever heard.
Oh, is that right?
I'm sure David, you will agree. It's always better when live musicians play these things.
Yes, but it's okay. You know, it's so funny when you go out to actually seek out old TV show theme songs. Is that unless you have a really good memory, the chances of getting the actual thing that they used in the TV show are slim.
Let me get, looks like Tom from Haverford to join our conversation. Now we are talking about TV theme songs. And Tom, go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, Marty.
Hi,
nice
there.
Show.
Thanks.
They were talking about Hooks. I wonder if your guest could say something about the theme to Boardwalk Empire, where the telephone exchange hook is used. It sounds like an old-time switch of phone ringing. And what's the purpose of that in the music, if they know?
Yeah.
I'll take my answer off the air.
Tom, thanks for the call to Radio Times. We'll play that as well. Do you know the answer to that, John Burlingame?
I don't know the answer to that. David, how about you?
Well, I don't know why they used it, but the first time that I heard it, I thought of the Rockford Files when it started off with an answering machine, and I don't know.
Right.
I don't consider that an intentional montage, but I love that sort of inventiveness. And again, anything that evokes consciously or subconsciously a particular period during a theme is a good thing. And if that takes you back to old switchboard operators, it's not a bad move.
Well, I have to say, when I listen to this, I hear the Rolling Stones. I hear "You Can't Always Get What You Want," and "Please Allow Me to Introduce Myself." When I hear the theme to Boardwalk Empire, that's what I hear.
Which, again, is like a different era, different feel. So, but, you know, so this is the Justified argument all over again, but I'm fine with it.
Well, let's listen. And this is the theme to Boardwalk Empire, the Brian Jonestown Massacre, a song called Straight Up and Down. And that's me chit-chatting with David B. and Cooley while listening to the theme music to Boardwalk Empire. John Burlingame, if a TV theme is successful, is it because you can't get it out of your head? Or, I mean, there are those themes that are so irritating you also can't get them out of your head.
People seem to say that about Friends an awful lot. I can remember when, and Friends was a huge hit on the radio in 1994, 95 when it first came out. But you talk to people now and they go, oh, God, I hate that theme. But in fact, it was pretty popular. And of course, most importantly, it fit the show. It was right for the show. In the case of Boardwalk Empire, once again, I have to sort of disagree with my colleague on the other side of the country. I hate that theme.
Do you?
I think it's completely wrong for a show that is set in the 1920s. There's so much great jazz and blues from that period that would seem to evoke the color and the flavor and texture of the show itself. So I just think it's a wrong creative choice. But again, these are creative choices made by the people who make the show, and they don't come to these things blindly. So the guy did have a point.
And that's John Burlingame, who joins us along with David B. and Cooley. We are talking about songs, themes for TV shows, musical themes for TV shows. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Call us. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Tyler School of Art Alumni Association supports WHYY and hosts the Art Market at Tyler this Friday and Saturday. The Art Market at Tyler, a retail arts and craft show, takes place on Temple's main campus. Details at alumni.temple.edu/Tyler.
The Franklin Institute is committed to inspiring passion for learning about science and technology and about creating a spark or an aha moment in a child. At the Franklin Institute, kids can be learning while they think they're just having fun. To book a field trip or a visit to the Franklin Institute, the number is 215-448-1200. The website is www.fi.edu. The Franklin Institute supports WHYY.
Washington sure knows how to get itself into messes, but getting out of them?
Personally, I keep hoping to just sort of wake up and it was all a dream.
Groundhog Day screenwriter Danny Rubin, tasked by us to help DC make it to the epilogue of this latest fiasco. All the latest on the shutdown in Washington. Next time on The Takeaway from PRI, Public Radio International.
Today at noon on WHYY.
Supporting WHYY, The Economist, covering news and ideas that interconnect the world to give readers a worldview. On newsstands, in bookstores, at economist.com, or on smartphones and tablets.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane talking with David B. and Cooley and John Burlingame about TV theme songs. And let's play the theme song for HBO's True Blood. This is Jace Everett's Bad Things.
When you came in, the air went out, and every shadow filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you. Sit up in his room, heart sick and eyes filled up with blue.
The Being Coolie, you said you really like this
theme
song.
Yeah, this is one of my favorites of the modern era. And, you know, yes, you have the images that are so graphic, but I'm bouncing around while I'm in my mind. I'm watching a decomposed animal being eaten by maggots, you know, but it's still like a catchy song.
Get you in the mood. Well, I also think, John, I mean, the operative words are, I want to do bad things to you, right?
I love this theme. This is, you know, I'm with you on this one, David. I think this is great. And, you know, there's, again, the background of the vocal. There's kind of a down-home quality. The stories about vampires in Louisiana, it just feels right to me.
Let me see what looks like John from Wilmington has to say. And, John, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. I wanted to vote for Thomas Newman's score for – or theme for 6 Feet Under. I love him as a composer in general. I thought he reached into his bag of tricks and really nailed the tone of that show.
And I'm sorry to say, John, we don't have that one queued up, but John Burlingame, do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, Thomas Newman actually won the Emmy for that, for Best Theme of the Year, and it is a spectacular piece of music. Cuts brilliantly, I think, to those images of that whole funeral home setting of that HBO show. And interestingly enough, a little interesting quick side note, HBO failed to submit Tom Newman's theme for The Newsroom this past year, so it wasn't even eligible to win an Emmy, which I think it might well have done.
Oh, that's very interesting. John, thanks for the call to Radio Times. You can call as well. And again, that phone number, 1-888-477-9499. David, we're going to listen to an excerpt of Law & Order's very infectious theme written by Mike Post. Both notes, and a couple of notes that come after that. But I think that's the operative word, isn't it? It's those both notes, and we know what we're listening to.
Yes.
And Law & Order has taken on a life of its own.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean, and first of all, you know, this guy is an absolute great composer, but Law & Order, it's no matter what the themes are and the variations through the different iterations, it's the segues between scenes during the show. Dun dun. Yes. You know, and that's basically
all you need.
That's all you need. But we have more.
Well, let's listen. Than two notes, David.
Yes, I know. And the different, you know, all the other shows, the Criminal Intent, the Special Victims Unit, they all are variations by him of the first theme that he set up, and they match each show a little bit. It's really interesting, variations on a theme of a theme.
Exactly. But, John, I mean, when you listen to that without watching the show, again, another kind of interesting piece of music.
And I think it's compelling in and of itself. I mean, it's amazing to me that we've been listening to this tune for 23 years now, and it still isn't old, at least not to me. And Mike Post, also the composer of Hill Street Blues and L.A. Law and NYPD Blue, and this, the longest running of them all, a real veteran of television music.
Let me see what Holly from Middletown, Delaware has to say. And Holly, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hey, guys. This is kind of going to really date myself, but I was thinking about the days before HBO and before Showtime, when television was kind of a more communal or I guess more widespread experience. So there were, you know, far fewer networks, so people tended to watch the same program.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of those theme songs really got into the collective consciousness. So, you know, it's like when I hear the Mary Tyler Moore theme song or All in the Family or things that just about everybody was watching, I try to explain that to my kids to, you know, it's like, God, we all knew that song. Or even back, you know, when you played the Green Acres theme song. And it's kind of weird now because it is so splintered, and we don't have HBO, so I confess it's the first time I've heard a few of the themes that you played today. And I just wonder how much, well, I don't know. I guess I just wonder about the phenomenon of that commonality.
Absolutely. No,
I've written about this. I've written about this a lot, and I worry about it. There's no way around it. You're absolutely right, and we're never going to have the giant communal experience that we had a generation ago when broadcast network TV ruled everything. We just had this year one of the biggest buildups that I can remember in a couple of years with the end of Breaking Bad, and only 10 million people saw it. You know, back when in the 60s, an average hit TV show was seen by about 30 million, and there were only three or four choices of things to see. So, you know, I think we're going to miss that shared communal experience. But younger people tell me that you'll have it, it just takes longer because it has to spread on the web and different platforms.
Do you miss those days, John?
That's a good point.
Yeah, Holly, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Do you miss that,
sure.
John?
Or, thank you.
I mean, we've been playing some really interesting music, it seems to me, from some of these more contemporary shows.
No, I think that's exactly right. I also miss the communal experience. I mean, it's going to resonate especially next month when we come up on the anniversary of the JFK assassination from 1963. And, of course, you know, those of us who were alive then all remember where we were.
Sure.
And television that entire weekend really united the nation in a way that it had never happened before. And that really is not possible anymore in this 21st century environment.
Well, let me play another excerpt of some opening music, and this is for the titles to Showtime's Homeland. Sean Callery is the composer for the show. Terminal 7 is the name of the jazz composition performed by the Tomas Stenko Quintet. Let's listen to this.
Air and naval forces of the United States launched a series of strikes against terrorist facilities. He has sanctioned acts of terror in Africa, Europe, the Middle East.
This will not stand, this aggression against Kuwait.
His relentless pursuit.
We will make no mistake.
The USS Cole was attacked while refueling in the port of...
This was an act of terrorism. It was a despicable and cowardly act.
The next time we're going to swing for you, he's one of the good old
days. Until something stops him.
I'm just making sure we don't get hit again.
I guess you got this already.
And again, that's the opening theme to Homeland. And John, if I can toss that to you, and David and I were talking about this as we were listening to it, this captures the sort of mental state of Carrie Matheson, played by Claire Danes, it seems to me.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad to me that so much of the music is essentially obscured by the use of a sort of a sound montage over it. But that, of course, is, again, a creative choice made by the team making the show. I think that Callery does the best job he can to sort of create a sort of wailing trumpet is a kind of sad note. And for the sad times that we live in that are sort of overwhelmed with terrorist acts.
You want to comment on that music, show, David?
I didn't know who the composer was. I didn't know the name of the composer. I didn't know the name of the piece. But I've watched every episode of Homeland, and I love that opening sequence. And think it sets up the craziness of that show very nicely.
Well, here's another weird segue, but only because you're here, David Biancooley, and you mentioned Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh, mention it. This formed my childhood. We have to play this.
Everything we ever wanted to know about David Biancooley, if we listen to this, this is the theme song for The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle, written by Frank Comstock.
Thank you.
The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle, written by Frank Comstock. And David, is it because you just love the show? And it was a very sophisticated show.
Absolutely. I will say the thing that I loved the most about that show is that there were jokes in it that I didn't get for 20 years. You know, and when I finally got them, they were so great. Imagine a joke with a half-life of 20 years, and that was the character of one of the spies was Boris Badenov.
Yes.
And I was in, you know, I was well into my 20s before I found out there was an opera named Boris Godunov. And it's like, I loved it. Now, John, what do you think about that theme and how it fit that show?
Yes.
I'm almost frightened to tell you that we've had exactly the same childhood, David. I adored this show as a kid. I didn't get the jokes until I was 20 or 30 years old. And even as a music buff, I didn't know about Boris Godunov until I was in my 20s. And it's just hilarious. I love the theme. Frank Comstock, interestingly enough, just died a few months ago.
Oh.
He was a delightful guy with, as you can imagine, a somewhat demented sense of humor. As you can hear in that piece. And it, to me, it just sort of sends me back to my childhood. And I adored Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Well, we thought this would be a good pairing. This is the main title to The Simpsons, written by Danny Elfman. Let's listen to this. David, do you like the theme to The Simpsons? I know you love The Simpsons.
Absolutely love it. I mean, you're right there. You're in the supermarket. She's going down out of the music room. You know, all the different spots, the nuclear power plant. All of us know where that is.
I want to go ahead, John.
And I might add that Matt Groening, when he approached Danny Elfman about writing that, specifically asked for a theme a la the Flintstones or the Jetsons that would remind people of how much fun a cartoon theme used to be.
Let me squeeze something in you had mentioned, John, which is the theme to Downton Abbey, the suite, written by John Lund. Let's just give it a quick listen here. The very well-known theme to the PBS Downton Abbey, the Sweet series, written by John Lund. And to you, John Burlingame, do you like that music?
Yes, I like it very much. John Lund is a really fine English composer who managed, I think, in just a few notes to embody the energy of the sort of the train that first comes in, bringing a character, and then the energy of the servants preparing the house for a new day.
Well, David Biancooley, for some reason, has a gigantic grin on his face.
Well,
let's find out.
Well, I like this theme very much, but if there were lyrics to it, it would be costume drama, many people are going to die. You know, it's got it all right there.
John, do you think we're in we're almost at a time here in a golden age of theme music, or is it, are they just, I mean, we've got a lot of good TV and perhaps a lot of good TV theme songs.
Well, that's the thing. We may not be in a golden age, but we are in a period now where there's so much television, there's so much, as we hate to say, product being put out there, that there are a number of gems, there are some interesting things being done all the time, and it's really hard to keep up. There's so much out there now.
Well, on that note, my thanks to you, John Burlingame, for joining us today on Radio Times. Thank you so much, John.
It's been a delight, as always, Marty.
And David Bianculli, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah,
as well.
I love it here.
Well, we love you having you here. And that's David Bianculli, guest host, TV critic for NPR's Fresh Air with Terry Gross, also the founder and editor of the website TVWorthWatching.com. He teaches TV and film as an associate professor at Rowan University in New Jersey. And his most recent book about the Smothers Brothers called Dangerously Funny. John Burlingame is a film historian and music writer. He teaches film music history at the University of Southern California, joined us from the studios of KUSC. He writes for Variety and most recently wrote a book called The Music of James Bond. We'll go to WHYY.org/radiotimes and you can find out much more about this program. Jessica Crocker produced this hour of the show. We're going to close things out with the music from Tremé. Let's listen.
Tremé, it's me and my baby. We're all going crazy, buzz jumping and having fun. Down in the Tremé, it's me and my baby. We're all going crazy, buzz jumping and having fun. Down in the Tremé, it's me and my baby. We're all going crazy, buzz jumping and having fun.
That's my.